Might not have been the easiest song to sing, but maybe you noticed the words that probably the reason I chose it were the words. How marvelous, how wise, how great, how infinite to contemplate Jehovah's saving plan. He saw me in my lost estate, yet purposed to regenerate this faithless, fallen man. The wisdom of God. We're going to be talking about that a little bit this morning. Please open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I've been working on this. This is the fourth, I think, sermon in the series. So it took three to get through Proverbs 1, and now we're just starting Proverbs 2. So just bear with me as we continue our journey. Just through the beginning of Proverbs, we don't go all the way through. We might make it through chapter 9 if the Lord tarries. So, nonetheless, Proverbs chapter 2, looking at the first 8 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. This is God's holy word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. That's as far as we'll read. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think on these verses. Lord God, we bow before you and acknowledge that you are the only wise God. You know everything, and we know so little. We ask, Lord, that you would help us through your Spirit, that we might understand you more, that you would guide us and direct us, that your word would go forth and accomplish its purpose in each of our hearts this morning, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What were you made for? What aim should we set for ourselves in life? What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? What is the best thing in life? What in man gives God the most pleasure? There was a book written in the early 70s that tried to answer these questions, and it said the answer to those questions had the same answer. And I don't know if you've read this book, Knowing God, but on the back of the cover, it has all of those questions. What were you made for? To know God. What aim should we set for ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. What is the best thing in life? Knowledge of God. What in a man gives God the most pleasure? Knowledge of himself. Great book, by the way. Knowing God. Seeking and knowing God should be the great aim for every Christian. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of the kingdom of God. It says in verse 44 of Matthew 13, "The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Parable of the hidden treasure. What always gets me about that is in joy, he sold everything he had. I don't know about you. What would it take for you to, with joy, sell everything you have? With joy. I need nothing that this world can give. He was sold out. He knew God. And that nothing in this world was worth a speck of what the kingdom of heaven and of God is worth. Sold out, seeking first the kingdom, with joy, forsaking everything that this world could give. Here in these verses, we're called to seek wisdom. When you find wisdom, you find everything that you've ever needed. Because when you find wisdom, you find Jesus Christ himself, who is the wisdom of God. Each of us is on a journey of faith. Some are early on in our journey, the beginnings of that journey. Some are maybe in some of the last chapters of our journey. But we're all on journeys of faith here on this earth. And the wisdom of God will help you and me as we struggle through this challenging journey here on this earth, this journey of faith. The theme of our text this morning is the importance of seeking wisdom. We're going to look at two aspects of that theme. First of all, it's lifelong journey. And secondly, it's incredible result. Lifelong journey and incredible result. Let's look a little deeper. It's lifelong journey. Look at the actions that he calls his son to in these verses. "My son," verse 1, "if you receive my word, treasure up my commands. Make your ear attentive, inclining your heart. If you call out, if you raise your voice, if you seek it, if you search for it." He's calling for him to action. Only teachable hearts find wisdom. If you think you know it all, you're not going to be open to the wisdom of God. It is only those who are humble can find the wisdom of God found in Christ. I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll probably say it again through this series. The fool thinks he's wise. The wise person knows he's a fool. It is only those who are humble that can find the wisdom of God found in Christ. We must humble ourselves, have teachable hearts, seeking Him, treasuring up His commands, receiving Him, our ear attentive, inclining our hearts, calling out and raising our voice to Him, seeking Him and searching for Him as for hidden treasure. That is our journey, to humble ourselves, to be teachable, to find God's wisdom found in His Word and in Christ. How important is wisdom? I mean, I was just thinking of all of the people in the Old Testament and how much they needed wisdom. As I went through some of them in my mind, Adam, did he need wisdom? Oh yeah, he needed wisdom. Abraham, Moses, the judges, the kings, the prophets, they all needed wisdom. Whether it was found in the promised Messiah and the covenant that God had made, or in Jesus Christ Himself. But only God's Spirit gives that wisdom. You can't somehow muster that wisdom up yourself. You can't go to enough universities or get enough PhDs and somehow figure out the whole world just to yourself. For some reason, it reminds me of my dad. He just thought, people with all this head knowledge, they didn't seem to really have any common sense whatsoever. And you can have all the knowledge in the world, but still be ignorant towards God and His wisdom and His ways. How important is wisdom? How important, truly, the wisdom of God is found in the gospel itself. That God, Almighty in heaven, would love you and me enough to send His Son to be born here on this earth, to live a life and die a crucified, cursed death on the cross, and be raised again, seems foolish to most people. But that is the wisdom of God. The gospel itself is the wisdom of God. How important is that to you? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, talks about how to the weak I became weak for the sake of the gospel. That's how important the gospel was to him, to become all things to all men, for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom. It was worth it to him. Nothing else mattered. That's how important the gospel was to him and should be to you and to me in Christ. Now, each of us is on a journey. You have just one life to live. I know that sounds like a soap opera, but God has only given you this one life. There's no do-overs. You just get this couple years. I don't know. How many you get? Maybe 80, 90. Right? If you're lucky. I don't know. 100? Maybe. I'm telling you right now, it's limited. And each of us is seeking something. I don't know what you're seeking with this life that you've been given by the grace of God. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? That hidden treasure that was buried, that you would sell everything to find? People seek different things, do they not? Some people are seeking a career. Maybe a degree. I don't know. Maybe retirement. Maybe money. Pleasure. People seek a lot of different things. Are you seeking the wisdom of God? Are you seeking the wisdom of God in Christ? Can you say with Paul in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ"? That the whole reason that God put you on this earth and are on the journey that you're on is to live for Christ. What is the wisdom of God worth to you? You know, that parable I spoke of at the beginning, it was worth everything. The kingdom of heaven was worth everything, that he sold everything in joy, and he wanted to buy that property to get the treasure. If you seek wisdom with everything you have, seeking the wisdom of God found in Christ, how much of you does God want? Well, you're here on Sunday. Good job. He got that out of you. Is that what he wants? Maybe even come tonight. Wow. Good. How much of you does he want? Maybe you go to a 242 group. Even better. What does he want from you in this life that he's given you? What does he want? He wants all of you. He wants everything. Not just a little bit of you, not just Sunday. He wants everything. This lifelong journey, looking for wisdom, that's what he wants. Ultimately, you see this incredible result, which is the second point. As you read on, verse 5 is kind of the chiastic pinnacle, if you will, of these verses. You know, he talks to my son in the first four verses, and then the conclusion kind of, verse 5, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Ah, what a result. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. You'll know him. When you find God's wisdom, you find him. Now, I remember when I was growing up, I was in my 20s, so that was a couple years ago. But I was going to CBC, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I really was kind of flailing, trying to figure out the plan of God and his will for my life. And what am I going to do with this journey that he's given me? I didn't know. And I remember I asked a trusted friend, happened to be one of the Davises. Bill Davis was my trusted friend. And I went to Bill and I said, "I don't know what to do, Bill. I said, I'm getting this welding degree that my teachers are saying I should become a welding engineer." Of course, it wasn't hard to do well in welding. Everyone else was kind of not doing so well. So. But I also am thinking about going into full-time ministry, and I don't know which one to do. "What do you think, Bill?" And I'll never forget what he said, and it really struck a chord with me. Because it, in a weird way, gave me permission to do what I really wanted to do. And he said, "Do what you really want to do." And I Instantaneously, I knew. I was like, I want to go into full-time ministry. That's what I want to do with this life. I want to serve the Lord. I want to, with the few years I have left, and I was only 20-some years old, I thought, even then, life's short. With the few years I have left, I want to get to know this God who saved me. And I went to Covenant College, and I went to Westminster Seminary, and served in some churches, and in the Navy, and it's been a pretty good life. It's my question to you is, who do you trust? Who do you trust in this life? It's hard to trust people, is it not? People let us down. It's not easy to trust people. Who is worthy of your trust? The only people worthy of your trust are people who you know. Who have proven themselves to you that they are worthy of your trust. When our kids were growing up, we would have various people watch our kids when we needed to go out on a date or do something. And we only chose people that we trusted with our most prized possession of our children. And it's only people we knew. When you know God, you trust Him. You trust Him for the challenges of this life. And you trust Him for your future after this life. He alone is worthy of all of your trust. And who is God? Well, that's part of the lifelong journey, figuring that one out. I'm still learning. It's been 40 years since I made that decision to follow Him. He is holy. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty, sovereign, gracious, merciful, loving. I suggest to you, make it your lifelong quest to learn more about who He is, because you'll never plumb the depths of the knowledge of God. In our verses, you see, where does wisdom come from? Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Yahweh gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity and guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints, the holy ones. It is God who gives wisdom. You see, it changes from you. My son, if you receive my words, treasure them up. If you have your ear attentive, you incline your heart. If you call out, if you raise your voice, if you seek, if you search, then you will find the knowledge of God and the fear, understand the fear. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge. He stores up wisdom. He is a shield. He guards. He watches over. It changes from you to Him. From faith to grace, if you will. Wisdom comes from the Lord and from Him alone. God gives wisdom, knowledge. He shields. He guards. those who follow him. Now, what does it mean to know God? You know, we're all on this journey, and it is interesting how little we all know of who he is. Now, he's revealed himself in Scripture, so we have access to some of the knowledge of who he is. But truly, to understand as a human the almighty and sovereign God and creator of the universe, it's not an easy thing. I was thinking of how to understand that, and for some reason, my first thought was, how much could an ant or a maggot understand a human? Could they really know me? There's a limited knowledge, is there not? Yeah, there's a very limited knowledge that we can have. For we are finite and he is infinite. And this knowledge of God that he gives to us through his word and through Christ himself, through his spirit, through fellowship with his saints, this knowledge that he gives us doesn't puff us up. It really humbles us to see who he is. Clearly, that he would love you so much that he would send his son for you to save the ants. Could you imagine that you would love the ants enough to send your son to die for the ants, to become an ant? Hard to imagine. Now, the illustration breaks down, obviously, but we didn't create the ants. Nonetheless, that God humbles himself to become one of us, to save us. It's pretty mind-blowing for me. We are sinners, enemies of God, deserving of his wrath. But through Christ, he gives us his wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom, victory for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints, his holy ones. That's how much God loves you and me, even though we are sinners, deserving of his wrath. He gives us Christ. He shields and guards you and me. He watches over you and me in Christ. He gives us victory in Christ, even. God freely gives knowledge and wisdom in Christ to all who seek him, all who humble themselves and come before him. He wants to give his wisdom. I'd like to read a question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? The answer: that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this vale of tears. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. May God help us to treasure the wisdom found in Christ, the knowledge he gives us through his wisdom in Christ. He is the only one who can satisfy your heart and who can save your soul. May we seek him with all of our hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you most of all for your Son, who is the wisdom of God, who loved us so much that he died for us. Even though we weren't worthy, you sought us out. You loved us when we were unlovable. And you bled and died for our salvation. We thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, that he is truly the wisdom of God, come down for us to save us from our sin and from your wrath. Continue to strengthen us to know you more, to grow not only in knowledge, but that you would keep us humble in that knowledge. Give us teachable hearts that we might grow ever closer to you with this journey of life that you've given us. Bless us through your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting at verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." The table of the Lord is for those who believe. If you believe and trust in him, you are welcome to the table. It isn't for those who are perfect, for none of us are. It's for those who are repentant of their sin and in need of a Savior. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." take, eat, remember and believe the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ was broken for all your sins. In a like manner, our Lord took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Take and drink from it, all of you, in remembrance of me." Take, drink, remember and believe. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all your sins. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to see you in a tangible way, that you give us this spiritual food and spiritual drink to nourish our souls, that you have not left us alone, but you have left us with your Spirit, that you, as you sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty,